We'll be looking in Luke, the second chapter, in verses 10 and 11, but you really don't need to read it. You know what it says. You know the entire story. How many times have we been here? How many times have we described the story, whether it's in song like we just did? Maybe it's a play, Christmas play, a children's play. You've heard the story over and over and over again, so you know what Christmas means. You know what it is. And so, I don't often do this, but I'm basically going to be talking to you today. Sure, and everything I'll talk to you about will be biblically based, and you'll know it. It's common sense. But the question I want to ask today, what if Christmas doesn't come? And the reason why that even got a thought in my head was because we know the situation that we face today. Should the families get together? How many should get together? How are we going to work things? We still haven't got it all figured out. We've got some of our family quarantined, some, and you just wonder, how's it going to be Christmas if we don't have everybody there? And there's so many people this year, and I thank God that I'm not one of them, that's lost someone close to them this year. And so, I'm thinking, what if Christmas doesn't come? Well, what if we can't get together? What if we can't exchange gifts like what if we can't follow every tradition that we customarily do every year? Is it going to feel like Christmas? And it's a legitimate question, because that's the state of Christmas today. Because we placed Christmas as being those things. That's sobering, isn't it? When you really think about it, we have made Christmas those other things besides what it truly is. As a matter of fact, you don't hear Christmas sermons in February, or any other month except in the month of December. Now, we know that it is possible not to have Christmas here. We didn't have Easter. But let's be honest, we didn't have a real Easter service. I preached a sermon and cut specials in between, and that was our Easter. It was all right, but it wasn't Easter. I remember those days, those services that we used to have, where we'll stand, we all got dressed up. It was a nice spring day. We'd walk out, we'd take pictures in our Sunday finest. And those Decembers where we had the little Christmas, the kids would have the Christmas plays, and it'd be so cute, and it'd go. I remember all those days, and I miss them. But that's not Christmas, guys. So what if Christmas doesn't come? Well, just a reminder, in Luke chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. It says, "Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.'" In a nutshell, that's Christmas. Now, I want us to consider this morning the thought of what if Christmas doesn't come. So I know what you're thinking, because this should naturally prompt a question. Does it mean it's possible that Christmas doesn't come? My answer is simply yes. It's possible. For even with all the activity this season, which are too often for too many when Christmas is over, we're no different than we were before Christmas. You see, when Christmas really comes, it changes us. It makes a difference in our life. So for every year, for millions of people, Christmas never really comes. But Christmas, it comes, but now, December 25th, this Friday, Christmas will come in the sense that it's that day on the calendar. It comes, but Christmas doesn't really come into our hearts and our lives. And this will be, this may be especially be true in these times, in these days, this year. My prayer is that somehow this Christmas, God's Spirit will come upon us and change us. And that Christmas will really happen. And I believe God has been moving us in that direction as we've lost so much of our freedom to move around, travel, visiting, and others have dealt with severe health issues during this pandemic. And God has challenged us not to be so spoiled and return to what is really important in life. I believe because of this pandemic, there are many around the world that needs a shot of joy. And because of the pandemic and the foolishness, the seriousness, however you want to describe it, of the election, we needed something to turn our attention to. And therefore, Christmas decorations went up well before Thanksgiving. Right? All right, see, I got a neighbor who just... I waited till after Thanksgiving. But it was earlier than necessary. But we did. And I see it all the time. It was like, I can't wait to get to Christmas so I can have some joy. I'm going to put my lights out. I'm going to get my tree up. I'm going to sell. It's time to move on. That's the feeling that we got. Santa Claus started making his appearance at malls earlier than usual, although it's behind plexiglass and other protective barriers. Newspapers nearly doubled in size because of all the advertisements they contained. And my goodness, has Amazon done business. For all those people staying home, one click, you get anything you want to in the whole world delivered to your front door. In fact, it makes more attention seems to be brought upon the shopping habits of Americans on the day after Thanksgiving. And not just that, it was before and after they started spreading those deals out this year. And we called it Black Friday, and now even earlier than ever before. Both in TVs and our newspapers, there are pictures of people returning to the malls and shopping locally in downtown. And during Thanksgiving week, travel picked up, but still less than previous years. There were 1.8 million traveled by air and 40 million by cars during Thanksgiving. And during this season, we're encouraged to buy things that we can't afford with money that we don't have, to give to people that we're not even sure we like. The commercial side of Christmas has really arrived. And the social side of Christmas has begun too. It's a festive time for dressing up, going out, and even despite, there are a lot of folks doing that. I think it's kind of scaled down this year. Hopefully people are being smarter about it. But, you're not going to get rid of the social aspects of people when they think they can do it safely. And as the day approaches, which is close, many will travel. Probably right now the airports are being filled up. Finding a way to get over the river and through the woods to Grandma's house. And for those who can't get there physically, they'll be there in their thoughts. And Christmas season has arrived in the church too, although it does seem rather shortened. Normally we'd be doing a Christmas cantata, we'd have some kids coming up and doing something, and we'd be singing Christmas songs, and we'd have a lot more than we have here today, passing out the Christmas cards. And Dan and Wynonna wouldn't be able to sit in that bench because it'd be all Christmas cards back there. And so all the things that this church has done, over the past. Matter of fact, the decorations really not as elaborate as they usually are, and that's fine. But it's arrived. A full Christmas sermon, it's not bad for me. I get to preach a full sermon. 45, 50 minutes worth, right? So we got all of this. But will Christmas really come? Oh, the earth will make its 359th revolution of the year. December 25th will come right on schedule. But will Christmas really come? And that's the question. There are several things that have to happen before Christmas really does come into our hearts and our lives. You know, we often talk about being born again when we become a Christian, but may I suggest that Christmas is also a good time to remind us of the need for Jesus, of our need for Jesus to be born again in our lives, in our families, in our relationships. A reminder of what He initially done for us that time He came into our hearts and lives and saved us. A reminder of why it's so important, that Christmas is so important, is because ultimately, because He came, I am a saved child of God, and all those who have passed on before me, I will be able to see them again. That is the reason that is so important. And sometimes I get distracted. I don't think about that. I begin to believe all the other stuff is more important to me and to others. And that is Christmas. That somehow, it's my prayer that somehow in a wonderful way, Christ will be formed inside the hearts and lives of each of us. And our relationship with Him will grow stronger and stronger. You know, we've learned how to clean the air we breathe, purify the water that we drink. We've learned how to enrich the food that we eat. We've learned how to program our computers. We've learned how to operate our smartphones. And we've learned how to maneuver our smart TVs. Well, some of us may have. I'm not sure I've figured it all out yet. And, you know, it used to be a VCR. If you could program a VCR. But you know, some of us have actually learned how to use their GPS in their cars. Overall, we've adapted pretty well to our modern world. But some things, out of all the things that we've learned to do, there are some things we still have not learned to do. And that one of them would be to get along with each other. Even though more than 2,000 years have passed since that first Christmas, and even though we are reminded every year of the angel's message, peace on earth, we still haven't learned to have peace with one another. And when loved ones and friends die, we are quick to respond, rest in peace. You know why we say that? Because we have not learned how to live in peace. So our greatest need this Christmas is to have Jesus formed in us, to live in us, to show us how to accept and forgive each other, and how to get rid of the tensions that divide us, how to overcome our fear and prejudice. Christmas is that time where we learn to have peace, where we learn to have joy. These are some things that are some of the core messages of what Christmas is because of Jesus coming. So I'm going to raise another question. How will Christmas come? How will Christmas come? And when you read the accounts in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke, you read about Mary and Joseph making their way to Nazareth, to Bethlehem. You read about the crowds and the people who have come to pay their taxes. Luke takes us through the whole narrative of the shepherds and the angels. Jesus being born and then being wrapped in swaddling clothes and then placed in a manger. But then he adds something here. Something that we could easily miss. And I think he adds it because he knows someone's going to ask this question. Why was he born in a stable? Why? Have you ever thought about that? God, who's in control of everything, and he could have had him a really nice room set up to make it a lot easier. But why was it in a manger? It was almost, and then almost like an afterthought. Luke says, because there was no room in the inn. Now there it is. Be honest, it bothers you a little bit. Because Luke doesn't condemn the innkeeper. Doesn't the innkeeper know just how special this baby is? And there have been times he said, we preach sermons on this. You've heard it, and you probably thought it. Well, that terrible innkeeper, he probably was mean, and he was evil. He wouldn't allow Christ into his house. But you know what? He doesn't condemn. In the narrative, he doesn't condemn the innkeeper. He doesn't even comment about it. He doesn't say he was bad. He doesn't say he was good. He doesn't say he was right. He doesn't say he was wrong. He just leaves it there. It was just the way it was. But forever, this crowded inn that shut out Jesus, it stands as a symbol of a crowded, cluttered lives that still have no room for Him. Now that's not that we're bad people. It's just that we're busy people. And our schedules are full. And we haven't made room for Christ in our lives. But if you don't have time for it, then your schedules are probably a little bit too cluttered. So you need a lot of time, some quiet time, to be still and to acknowledge that He is God. So before Christmas really comes, we must acknowledge that He is God and then desire Him to come and to come into our lives. And there is a part of us that really wants that to happen. We've got to cut the clutter out. We got to make sure we spend time for Him and not the season. You see, we want His blessings, but we're not sure we want the cross. We want His forgiveness, but I don't really want His judgment. We want His salvation, but I'm not sure we want to really serve. And we want a Savior, but we're really not sure we want a Lord to direct us. So if Christmas is really going to be Christmas for us, then I think that we must approach Christmas with a feeling of humility. So when I think of Bethlehem, the stable, the animals, I can't help but wonder what that must have really looked like and maybe felt like, or maybe even smelled like. The stable must have had a very unpleasant smell with Mary and Joseph entering that stable, tired, and perhaps confused with the inside of her womb, when the inside of her womb is the Son of God in the flesh. Now, I marvel that God would come down that far and sacrifice that much to enter the world. A stable with animals? Why? Yet it was for a reason. God was stripping everything away and saying that there's nothing that stands between us. There's no place for arrogance or pride, that you can't come here if you're looking down your nose at someone else. That you've got to, if you want to truly have Christmas, you're going to humble yourself before Him. It's that simple. And through the doors of that stable comes cows, sheep, livestock, Mary, Joseph, and through the doors of that stable comes all of us. We come to worship Him, God born in the flesh. And without anyone to brag about, we come humbly before Him and say, "Here am I, Lord, use me." See, it's not about us, it's about Him. And too often, Christmas becomes about us. About what we've done, who we've seen, what kind of party we had, what kind of gifts we're giving, what kind of gifts we're getting. It becomes about the food that we eat. It becomes about the fellowship. It becomes about the family. And it's really nothing. All the things are fine. But let me tell you, that's not Christmas. Christmas is when you're one-on-one with Jesus and you begin to realize in humility what He actually did for us. You see, I think this is what it will take for Christmas to really come. It'll take some broken hearts and broken wills for us to be born again in us. In other words, to renew the joy of our salvation. And I believe during this pandemic, God is breaking us. The potter wants to put you back together again. And I've heard so many say, we're not going to celebrate Christmas year because the pandemic has caused so much disruption, so much sickness, and so much death. And can I tell you this morning? Christmas was never about a feeling. It was not about all those pleasant things that are church traditions. Those things, those inner feelings. Oh, wasn't that a great Christmas? You know, we had such a great time. Those are not necessarily what we're talking about here. Christmas this year may not feel as festive as it generally does. Especially with the isolation, restrictions that the people are grappling with. We're being reminded this season, although we like to shout it year after year, Jesus is the reason for the season. Every year we do this. I think this is a reminder. And we'd say it every year. But I can't help but wonder, did we really mean it? So if Jesus is the reason for the season, why are we so gloomy? Come on, think about that. If Jesus really is the reason for the season, why are we going around going, oh, woe is me? It should be a time of peace, joy, happiness, knowing that He did come, celebrating the fact that He did come, so that He could do what He did at the cross of Calvary and rising again from the grave 3 days later so that we could have the hope of eternal life. And I took that gift, by the way, that precious gift. I took it many years ago, and there's nothing for me to worry about. These are things. These are feelings. He's real. And what He did for me was the most real thing that's ever happened to me. Why don't we celebrate? Why won't we celebrate this year? Now, obviously, it may not be like we always celebrate, but who's stopping you from celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ? Can you do it by yourself? Absolutely you can. You can worship Him by yourself. You don't have to have a crowd. You don't have to be in a church. You don't have to sing the songs. You just get with Him, humble yourself before Him, and you say, here am I, send me, Lord. That's all you got to do. And reflect upon what He's done for us. I can't help but wonder again, what if Christmas didn't come? I will tell you, if Christ had not come, all the churches, their good works, would be erased from the earth. Yeah, there would be no Christian radio, no TV, no Christian books, no Christian magazine, no Christian music of any kind, no great hymns, no choruses, no gospel songs, no Christmas carols, no children singing away in the manger. There'll be no I'll be home for Christmas, no Christmas Eve services, no candlelight services, for there is no Christmas to celebrate. There'll be no churches anywhere if He did not come. If Christ did not come, there would not be an Olive Hill Baptist Church right now. There'd be no building, there'd be no people, there'd be no choir, there'd be no sanctuary, there'd be no worship, there'd be no sermon, because honestly, you wouldn't want to hear anything I had to say on my own. No Sunday school. None of the things that we take for granted, all would be gone, vanished into the mist if Christ had not come that Christmas morning 2,000 years ago. But let me tell you what, it gets worse than that. That's not even the worst of it. If Christ did not come, the promises of God would be unfulfilled. If Christ did not come, the world would still be hidden in darkness. If Christ did not come, there'd be no bridge to cross the gulf of sin. And if Christ did not come, we would not know that God is love. And if Christ did not come, there'd be no gospel to believe. And if Christ did not come, there'd be no Christmas. There'd be no Easter. And if Christ did not come, there'd be no hope beyond the grave. If Christ did not come, we would still be lost, for there'd be no Savior for our sins. If Christ did not come, there'd be no good news to preach to the nations. Thank God that Christ and Christmas did come. Listen to the words of the angel and think what it means to us. Let's go back. Let's go to the verse. Go ahead. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid." Are you scared? Is this Christmas season? Are you scared? He's saying, do not be afraid. Why? Because I bring you good tidings. Good tidings. Of great joy, which will be to all people. Why? For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Don't be scared. Don't be worried. Don't be upset. Celebrate Christmas. Open your heart this season. And let's make sure that Christmas does come in our hearts and our lives. It may be the first time in a long time that it has come. But take this loss that we apparently have and use that loss of the things of Christmas around us and begin to point ourselves toward Jesus and the real Christmas meaning. And let's see if Christmas really does come. You know, the problem is this. The problem is not that if Christmas comes to you. I believe Christmas does come to each and every one of us. But the real problem is, are you coming to Christmas? Are you coming to Christmas? This message today, these thoughts, are directed to those who know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Those of us who have taken the things of this world and we have accepted it as being Christmas, and so therefore when that's taken away in some shape or form, we think, wow, Christmas is not the same. No, Christmas can be better. Can you remember what Jesus Christ did for you and how He did it? And it started that day. Come humbly before Him today. Put away the distractions. And come to understand that real Christmas is the relationship between you and God and remembrance of why He came in the first place. For those who've never accepted Jesus Christ in their heart, not their lost or a goose, it is amazing how many unbelievers, some that don't even believe that God is real, who will take and begin to take this holiday of Christmas and celebrate a Savior that they do not even believe existed. Are they celebrating Christmas? No. What about those who are unbelievers and they understand that there's God, they even believe that there's a Jesus, but they've never asked Jesus Christ in their heart and their life, and they go through Christmas and they're disillusioned because they're saying, is this all there is? Gift giving? Time of fellowship with family? No, there's more to Christmas than just that. And it's up to us to show in our celebrations of the real Christmas. It's up to us to show them what Christmas celebrating is really all about who it's about. Because ultimately, there's one Christmas gift that they've never received. And that Christmas gift is the gift that Christ comes and lays before each and every person at some point in time in their life. Here's my son died for you. Can you the gift of everlasting life. Will you take it? Do you realize how many people have turned their back on that gift? The one true Christmas gift that is forever and permanent. So this morning, it's my prayer that we focus, just focus everything back to Christ. I'm not telling you get rid of all the things of other things that don't need doing. No, that's fine. I don't have any problem with that. But you know what? I think God has a problem with it if that's the reason why you're celebrating Christmas. I think He has. Make Christ the central figure of His own birthday. I've been to a lot of birthday parties over the years. Kids, birthday parties especially. And it was always amazing for some of them that it was never really about the kid who had the birthday. Everybody else was having a good time. They were eating, having a good time, but it never really became about a party for them or a celebration of their life. Isn't that what we're doing with Christ? It becomes everything else, but for the reason for the celebration. Let's change that this year. Let's come to Christ. Let's come to Christmas. So as we stand and we prepare for an invitation, I don't know your heart. I don't know your life. I don't know. Every Christmas you may have this. You may have this kind of celebration with Him. I hope and pray that you do. But I will tell you this: I don't do it. It doesn't happen with me all the time. Sometimes I get so caught up in the other trappings of it that I forget, and I leave Christmas worse off, really spiritually, than I was before. And it shouldn't be. So now is your opportunity as a saved child of God to make that decision that you're going to come to Christmas this year because it's coming to you. And if you're here beyond that camera somewhere and you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior, you've never accepted His everlasting precious gift of salvation, He came for you. He came. He loved you so much that He came in the form of a baby, lived a complete life without sin, went to a cross to die for you, and then rose again from the grave. And He did all of that because He loved you, so that you could have that precious gift that He was offering. So this morning, right now, if the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart, maybe you're a saved child of God who needs to be refocused on what Christmas really is and who He is in your life. Or maybe you're here today and you've never accepted Him. The Spirit of God is telling you to come to Him as Savior. Would you do that? Would you do that? Just say yes to Him as we sing.